Hey, welcome back to Endpoint TV. It's Ron Jacobs, and yesterday I got kind of derailed. You know how it is, you get a little email comes in and you just can't resist. Well, I got an email from Jean, who has been reading my blog, and he was trying something. And so he was looking at this old blog post I did last summer on how to make a workflow service implement a contract. And so he wanted to try this. So today on my blog, I have a post here that explains how we came to a resolution with Jean's problem. And actually, the first time I made the post, I did an incorrect thing. So I pulled the post, I fixed it, I put it back. So you may have read the incorrect one. Apologies for that. So let's talk about what he wanted to do. So first thing is, he's building a workflow service, all right? Now, workflow services don't use contracts. They infer a contract. So the way that workflow works is that it looks at the receive activities, and it sees an operation, and then it sees in over here in the properties window, let's make this a little bigger, it sees a service contract name, okay, and then it looks at all that and it creates, it infers a contract based on what you have here. And so normally that's just how it works. Now, when on my blog post, what I did is I said, you can make the contract that it infers look like a contract if you just know what to do. And in fact, later there in the next release of Visual Studio, we'll have tooling that allows you to implement a contract first this way, and I showed that at the PDC. But anyway, here's the contract. Now, I modified this a little bit from what Jean sent me, but basically they're pretty simple. I'm going to call it, have a method here, which takes something we're going to use for correlation, something for data, and return a string. Now, the particular problem he had was, he said, okay, when I do a receive here, I do call a method, and I send a response. And in our case, we're just going to, when we send back a response, the trick of making this look like a typical WCF contract is to use parameters content. And the response has to be named whatever the operation name is plus result, so column method result. So in this case, I'm just going to return a string that says this is the first receive. Okay. Then we have a second receive and send reply pair. And the same method, column method, and then a response here. And so here I'm going to send back second receive. All right, now, Jean contacted me because this does not work. And we know it doesn't work, and I'll show you the behavior. But the more interesting question is, why doesn't it work? And the reason I'm taking the time to make a video about this is because I want to show you how I worked this out. Okay, so Jean had written a little console application to test this out, but I like to use unit tests. In particular, I like to use Microsoft.activities.unitTesting. So I brought that into the solution. So here it is, Microsoft Activities Unit Testing and Microsoft Activities. And I created a test project. Now, this test project allows me to see what's going on in the service. So here's a test. Now, in this test, I am using a class called Workflow Service Test Host. And this class will self-host your WCF service. So that means you don't need IIS, you don't need the ASP.NET development server or anything like that. It will just load up and host the service so we can test it. And in fact, in test scenarios, I like to use named pipe bindings. And Jean was using basic HTTP. And the issue I have with that is that basic HTTP requires ACLs. So you'll have to either run Visual Studio as administrator or set a URL ACL if you want to use basic HTTP binding. And for a test case, I don't want to have to do either of those. You know, ideally, I want to be able to run this test anywhere very quickly. So using named pipe binding just makes that a lot easier. And so because we did this technique that I showed in my blog, we can actually create a proxy without adding a service reference and all that, just using a channel factory. So here, using a channel factory over the contract, now we get a proxy. Okay, then the next thing I do is I use Workflow Service Test Host to open my XAMLX file and host it. Now, one key thing with this is with the Visual Studio testing, MS Test, but whatever test framework you use, you have to deploy the XAMLX file to the where the test directory runs, right? So the Microsoft Activities unit testing could be used with NUnit or XUnit or whatever thing you want to do, but you have to deploy the XAMLX file. And the path here is relative to the path of the solution file, so if you want to figure out what you need to put here. So you have to enable deployment, put the deployment item there, and now we can run a test. So for my test, I'm just going to use the test name as the name we pass in, and I'm just going to call the method the first time. Then I'm going to make a second call to call a method, and this one's going to fail. All right. So then it will throw an exception. We're going to catch, and we're going to abort the proxy. You can see that I have to cast it to an iCommunication object to do this. It's a little bit of a hassle, but if you use Channel Factory, that's what you have to do. And then finally, this is the most important part, is I'm going to output the tracking data into the test results so we can see exactly what happened. And this is super, super useful when you're troubleshooting problems with workflows. So let's run it. Control-R-T. That runs without the debugger, and we see that it threw an exception, right? We knew that was going to fail, so let's go look at what happened. So let's ignore that for a minute, and we see the exception and error processing, the workflow aborted, blah. That's not very helpful, is it? Sometimes the exception messages, you go, wow, I don't get a lot of information there. And the stack trace here isn't very helpful either. It's just showing a lot of client-side proxy stuff, so that's not really going to help us either. But you see here down in the debug trace, I have tracking data. That's because the Workflow Service Test Host has captured the tracking data for us. And now, if we go all the way to the bottom here, we see the workflow instance aborted, and now we get the real reason. We see the execution of the instance persistence command was interrupted by a key collision. So it's saying, I'm trying to save a workflow here, but the key already exists in the persistence store. Oh, well, now I know what's going on. So now we can back up a minute and see what's happening. And so let's go back up here, and we see, what are we looking at here? Well, we see an internal receive message. Well, that's because the receive activity, actually, when it receives, it creates a sequence that has an internal receive. All right, so that's the thing we're seeing there. But here we see the first receive. Okay, so we are in the first receive, and we're in the test should invoke service 1. So it received a message, and then it blew up. But first receive received it. Now that's interesting. Now if we back up a little farther, we see these two lines right here. Sequential service is idle, and sequential service started. All right, so now what's going on? Well, what happens is if we go back up a little further, we see all the way back up here that the first receive was executing, and we see this lovely little bit of code here, or this tracking data. A bookmark was resumed. Okay, here's what's happening. When the workflow service gets invoked, the first time the workflow service host spins this thing up, it creates the workflow and it runs it. Okay, so it runs the workflow, the first receive starts executing, and it goes all the way until right here. It goes idle. What happens is a receive activity says, I need some data, because that's my job. I receive things, so it creates a bookmark. Bookmarks have a name, and the name of our bookmark is the name of the operation, the service operation, then a pipe, and then the name of the contract. So what happens is the workflow service host runs it until it goes idle, and then it resumes that bookmark, passing in the data that it received from WCF. Okay, so we got the message, and I love how the tracking shows us the message and everything. We get all of the data right here. We can see what happened. And then we see that a little bit further down, we'll see the response message that we sent back. So this is the first receive that we sent back. And then if we go down a little farther, we see here's where it went idle again. Now it's waiting for another message. And so we thought, as we're looking at this, that's the first receive. We're thinking, hey, it's on the second receive, right? That's what we expect. But what happens is when the message gets delivered, it gets delivered to, once again, the first receive. Okay, now we see what's going on. So if we look over here at this workflow, we see that first receive has can create instance checked, true. Now, what that means is that workflow service host treats this receive specially, in that it will always receive this, and whenever it receives a message with the operation call a method on this contract, it will create a new workflow instance. So the second receive, because it has the same operation name and contract as the first receive, will never, ever be invoked. Because workflow service host will always create a new workflow instance with that operation. And when it tries to create a new one, it has the same key, to get the key collision, and then it aborts. Now we see what's going on. So how do you correct this? Well, sadly, I think it's sad. It's just the way it is. I mean, you just can't do that method twice if you're going to create something. So what I had to do is create another method called call a method 2. Okay, and then I come over here to service 2, which is the corrected version of this. And then so we have call a method, then we have call a method 2, and then I even made a third one with call a method 2, right? And so now if I come down to my other test, we'll see I'll call all three of those and get first, second, and third receives. So let's run this test, and you can see that it passes. So that's how you make it work. And one little bit of note, I mentioned earlier that I messed up something and put the wrong information on my blog. You have to be very careful about these things. In particular, I forgot to put the service contract name on the third receive, and it wasn't working. Okay, so you ought to watch out for that. One other thing, if you change the operation name here, it's very important that the name of the result is a match to that name. So I had to change the name of the result here as well. So, hey, that's it. That's a nice little bit of information for you. Now, I actually did file a bug on this because I think the validation for workflow service host should catch this, right? I mean, if you do this behavior, that's never going to work. When we validate the workflow service, it probably should warn you that you're doing something that's not going to work. So beware, it doesn't warn you. I did log a bug. You know, it's going to be a long time before that gets fixed, if ever. So, you know, just keep that in mind when you're working with this. I have all the code here on my blog. The sample code is right here, so you can go download it. Enjoy for Endpoint TV. I'm your host, Ron Jacobs.